holistic education today. Father Hardin once confided that he attributed all his talents as a teacher, author, and speaker to the many hours he has adored our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Only God knows how many hours he has spent, but one conscientious estimator thinks it is over 50,000. No wonder this presentation packs such spiritual power. Hearing is believing. Now, Father Hardin.
Suppose we begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now
and at the hour of our death. Mother of the Holy Eucharist.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our conference this evening is on Eucharistic education today. First, by way of a long prelude, our last four conferences in this series will be on the apostolate of sharing with others, our faith in the seven sacraments instituted by Jesus Christ. More specifically, I hope to instruct and, with God's grace, inspire you to cooperate in the Marian Catechist movement. The Marian Catechist came into existence when the Holy Father told Mother Teresa to train her sisters, the missionaries of charity, as catechists. She first, not objected, but observed, "My Holy Father, our sisters are not trained," said Pope John Paul II, "train them." As a result, I was directed by the Holy See to organize this catechetical training program. First, the Marian Catechists were founded to cooperate with the Missionaries of Charity, whose catechetical achievement has been, in the last almost 20 years, nothing less than phenomenal. In over 100 countries, with some 500 convents, they have catechized by now hundreds of thousands. However, from the very beginning, the Holy See wanted the Marian catechists to extend their labors to train the Catholic laity in evangelization and catechesis, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. Now, something very concisely about the Marian Catechist Apostolate. The heart of this apostolate is to fulfill Christ's directive to proclaim the gospel to all nations, teaching them to observe everything, as he said, which I have commanded you. Marian catechists, therefore, are to engage in extending the kingdom of Christ here on earth in order to extend his dominion over the hearts of men in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. The motto of the Marian Catechist is our Lord's declaration in his prayer to the Father at the Last Supper, said Jesus, "This is eternal life, and they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John 17:3. The key word in this apostolate is to make God known through Christ, so that knowing God, people might love Him, and loving Him might serve Him, and serving Him might save their souls. As explained by Pope John Paul II, everything else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified is not just secondary, but meaningless. I quote the Holy Father, "The primacy and essential object of catechesis is the mystery of Jesus Christ." So the main purpose of catechizing is very simple. And I quote the Vicar of Christ, "It is to reveal in the person of Christ the whole of God's eternal design, reaching fulfillment in that person. It is to seek to understand the meaning of Christ's actions and words, and the signs worked by Him, for they simultaneously both hide and reveal His mystery. Accordingly, the definitive aim of catechesis is to put people not only in touch, but in communion, in intimacy with Jesus Christ. Only He can lead us to the love of the Father in the Spirit, and make us share in the life of the Holy Trinity." Unquote, Pope John Paul II, from his masterful document, Catechesi Tridente, Section 5. This stress on making God known in the person of Christ is not coincidental. It is of the very essence of Christianity. Why? Because, as St. Paul tells us, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. Romans 10:17. Hear it. No one comes to the true faith except by hearing. But no one can hear unless someone else speaks. And that speaking is another word for catechesis. Those who believe in Jesus Christ must, and the verb is our faith, must witness to their faith in Christ, so that others might hear and see the faith professed, and thus be led to believe. They already have the faith to deepen their belief in Jesus Christ. Marian catechists are to be living witnesses to their faith in Christ, and thus become channels of believing grace to other people. As I've said more than once, in Christ's own words, being witnesses to Him in the original Greek of St. Luke is being martyrs. martyrs for Christ. When you think of the Roman Empire in the first three centuries of Christian history, Christians were not encouraged to proclaim their faith. Not only forbidden to evangelize, they were martyred by the tens of thousands. And this is what the world needs today. Believing Catholics who are living martyrs. That was a prelude. Now we ask, why is Eucharistic education so important? In asking this question, they are really understating the importance of the Holy Eucharist. Let me make three statements. Without the Eucharist, there is no authentic Christianity. Second, without authentic Christianity, there is no true proclaiming of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, without the true proclamation of Jesus Christ, there is neither evangelization nor catechesis. And the key word is true, true proclamation. To believe in the Holy Eucharist means to believe in the Incarnation. To believe that the incarnate God became man, hear it, for two, not one, for two fundamental reasons. First, to die on the cross for our redemption. And then to rise from the dead in order that, as a risen Christ, he might communicate the graces which the human race needs to reach its heavenly destiny. The Eucharist began in the womb of Mary. The moment God took on a human nature, the Eucharist had its beginning. This Jesus then lived for some 30 years, was crucified, died, and was buried. But then he rose from the dead. And he rose from the dead, hear it, to remain God as man, to remain the God-man, not only in heaven, but on earth. Those who believe that the risen Jesus Christ in the fullness of his incarnate humanity, that he is on earth, living, breathing, they are Catholics. No one else is. Jesus Christ then remains on earth in the Eucharist. Why? To communicate the blessings which he merited for us on Calvary. He is therefore, as true God and true man, I use the verb emanating the graces we need through his living humanity. All the grace comes from Jesus Christ as God. Get the preposition from Jesus Christ as God. But all the grace coming from Jesus Christ as God is communicated to us through, get the preposition, through His humanity. No words can exaggerate not just the importance, but the indispensability of the Holy Eucharist as the divinely ordained means for returning in heaven to the God from whom we came, from being nothing to live in our temporary exile here on earth. My favorite name for life here on earth. Once we recognize the primacy of the Eucharist in Catholic Christianity, we instinctively see how devastating are the errors about the Eucharist that have plagued the Church over the centuries. But these errors have reached nothing less than an apex in our century. Anyone who knows the Church's history has no illusions. She is going through the gravest crisis in her 20 centuries of existence. And the core of this crisis is the epidemic of disguised untruths about the Blessed Sacrament. Pope Paul VI, who confirmed the Second Vatican Council, did the unheard of thing of publishing a whole encyclical on the real presence before the council closed. In his document he declares, I quote, "There are not lacking reasons for serious pastoral concern and anxiety. The awareness of our pastoral office does not allow us to be silent in the face of these problems." Says the Pope, "There are those who consign to oblivion doctrines defined by the Church. Again, those who interpret in such a way as to weaken the genuine meaning of the words or the approved meaning of the concepts defined by the Church." Then the Pope goes on to identify some of these heretical ideas that have penetrated, and I mean deeply penetrated, Catholic circles. Transubstantiation is being redefined to deny the real presence of the living Christ in the Holy Eucharist. The Mass is being redefined as a mere symbolic recollection of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, or a mere gathering together of Christians remembering Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. But you don't you dare say that the Mass is the sacrifice of the cross. We are here asking why Eucharistic education is so important. A better question would be why Eucharistic re-education is necessary, not only to refute the widespread erroneous ideas, but to restore the true Eucharistic faith among, I dare say, millions of still professed Catholics. We go on. How is Eucharistic education to be given? In asking this question, we are opening the floodgates of Catholic religious pedagogy as we come to the close of the 20th century. The issue at stake is nothing less than authentic Catholic education in one Western country after another. Take the United States. As late as the middle of the present century, Catholic parochial schools were flourishing on a scale that was nothing less than the envy of other countries. Millions of children were being taught the fundamentals of their Catholic heritage by tens of thousands of dedicated religious women. Then came the volcanic eruption of Marxist feminism. Every single premise of feminism is found, and in many cases verbatim, in the writings of Karl Marx. In less than two decades, most of the Catholic elementary schools in America lost their consecrated teachers. One single community in the Archdiocese of Detroit, both of an archbishop informing him, "We are leaving the following 31 parish schools in your archdiocese." The result throughout the country has been nothing less than chaos. Some years ago, I was in conversation with a bishop of a large American diocese. He told me, in a private audience with the Holy Father, the Pope broke down and wept. They told the bishop, "Whatever happened to your consecrated religious women who trained whole generations of children in their Catholic faith? What happened was the demonic seduction of these once dedicated spouses of Jesus Christ." Let me quote just one paragraph from Donna Steichen's classy book, Ungodly Rage. And I quote, "The nuns' abandonment of identifying religious garb, their demands for autonomy in place of hierarchical obedience, for altar service as Eucharistic ministers, lectors, or acolytes, for ordination as deaconesses and even as priestesses, turned out to be merely the preface. When they encountered appeasement in some of these areas, they pressed more astonishing moral and dogmatic claims," unquote. For almost 20 years, my principal responsibility to the Holy See was to preserve what could still be saved of the women's religious institutes in America. And the majority will disappear. Of course, behind this destructive feminism were the so-called dissident male theologians. But the most drastic effect was on young Catholic children who were deprived of the basics of their faith, especially their faith in the Holy Eucharist. You might ask, What does this have to do with how Eucharistic education is to be given? And the answer is everything. Eucharistic education must begin from the child's tenderest years. Clearly, this means from infancy, and more specifically, from the Eucharistic faith and life of the parents. Parents personally nurture their children in things of the Spirit, in the faith and love of Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. They do so by what they are, by what they do, and by what they say. 1st of all, by what they are. The proverbs of all nations are filled with eloquence on the persuasive power of good example. Well, there's much more here than example. In saying that parents teach their faith in the Eucharist by what they are, we are here dealing with the supernatural. In God's ordinary providence, He uses those who are most closely united with Him by their virtue to communicate to others the grace which they possess. We can give only what we have, no more. The deeper and more devout is their faith in the Eucharistic Christ, the more surely will their children inherit this faith from their parents. I wouldn't be a priest today except for my mother and her deep, strong, lifelong love of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist.